This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Hank Azaria, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Have a great show, boys. Hey, Don, let's go Mets!
Thank you, Hank, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, May 28th, 2021, the beginning of the Memorial Day weekend. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart. We're together, though, for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half, your responsibility. Something struck me today, Don.
Yes.
For the first time in 14 months, I was driving to the stadium, although the Yankees are in Detroit. That's the world we live in. And a little bit of traffic, not terrible. And I said, you know what I missed, Don?
Really?
Yeah, first time in 14 months. I miss seeing that face and seeing you slap people on the behind. That I miss.
Well, I miss you too, buddy. I don't know why you felt that now, you know, 14, 15 months into this. But
yeah, I guess either.
We all find our religion when we find it. But I always think about these days because we're going to be away for a while, right? So, you know, usually we go in on a Friday before Memorial Day, Labor Day, or whenever 4th of July hits and say, you know, I'm going to be leaving you guys, you know, for, well, I'm not going to see you again until the following Tuesday. And there's always a little bit of remorse, even though I'm excited to hit the holiday. I'm thinking, you know, this is something this is part of my routine that will be disrupted, and I won't see these guys until Tuesday. And I was thinking, boy, I missed that because I haven't seen you guys in, you know, 14, 15 months. So I missed the times where I actually felt not seeing you for 4 days was a big deal.
And now it's 14 months. Now, as you could see in my little makeshift studio here, I have it festooned with a Knick shirt and a Net shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to see the one shot just to see the Net shirt. Maybe I'll switch them up a little bit later on. So that's the Knick shirt I wore the other day. That's over my left shoulder. And right over the center stage book is the Net shirt, which the Net sent over. I don't know if you got yours today, Don.
Yeah, if they give me the one shot, you will see both shirts that I got today.
Nets level is what the Nets say. And then the Knicks is we fight, we grind, we fam, we believe, we belong, we here.
Well, the one I have is the Tom Thibodeau one.
Oh, I have that too. I haven't hung that up yet.
I'm not happy unless I'm miserable.
But
I've got all the same ones you did, so that's the two that I have battling today, the Thibodeau and the Nets level.
Here's the Thibodeau one. Who's the guy that sent us this, Andrew, the Thibodeau one? Andrew's going to find it, but we thank him for sending that.
That's I try every day.
Well, the note that I got was from the Heartland group.
That's it.
That sent the T-shirt. For the Thibodeau one.
I'm doing Yankees Tigers today. And I am fully engaged because whenever Gerrit Cole pitches, you have to be fully engaged. Fully. So that game is the first of three in Detroit. But I have the DVR humming tonight. Knicks against the Hawks. Nets against the Celtics. Both games on the road. And I'm going to make a declaration right now.
Declaration.
That might surprise both of you.
What's that?
I think the Knicks are better off playing on the road than they were at Madison Square Garden. And you may say, well, was Kay an idiot? Well, I know you think that anyway. I thought that the crowd was too intense for guys that had never really experienced it before. They were taken aback. The only guy who really wasn't was Derrick Rose. Been there, done that. But you could see that Julius Randle was affected. Now, sometimes a crowd being behind you is a positive. Other times, you put too much emotion into your play. I think going to Atlanta, now Atlanta's talking real tough, that their crowd's going to be real loud and really
blah, blah, blah.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah,
it'll be a home court advantage. Nothing like the Garden was. So I don't think it's going to propel the Hawks to anything special. And I think that Julius Randle is going to be able to take a breath and be Julius Randle. And I heard P.J. Carlissimo on with Bart and Han, hosted by Bob Wischusen. And he said, if Julius Randle does not play the way he has played all year, Knicks don't win the series. And I think that's right. I don't think that you could ride a 32-year-old Derrick Rose to winning this series. They need Julius Randle to return to the guy that he was during the regular season. They need Julius Randle to be the guy who was averaging over 30 points a game in the three games against the Hawks during the season. That's what they need. And I think that being away from the Garden will be the great tonic for Julius Randle. And if he comes around, I think the Knicks could win a lot easier than they did game two.
Well, it's a theory, it's a thought, but Peter, doesn't it feel like there's a tad bit of wishful thinking in that analysis? Not from Michael, but from people that, oh, maybe they're just overwhelmed by the crowd. Because the easy answer could be, maybe they're just not ready for this moment. Period. Well, you know, so, because I keep going back to what Greeny said, is that the style of play that they have in the regular season works in the regular season because not everybody is as engaged as they are. Not everybody needs the game at the same level that they do. Now you get to the playoffs, and now what makes you extraordinary makes you ordinary because now everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. So they don't have that advantage. So, yeah, maybe it's the crowd. Maybe it's the inexperience. But the one thing you don't want it to be is just not good enough or just not ready for the moment, period, never mind where the games are played, because the level in the postseason is different. So we can make excuses for Randle. He's never been here. The crowd's really intense. But you hope that's the answer, because if that's the case, he can shake loose of that. But if the answer is just not ready for this moment, well, then they're not going to win the series. So I hope you're right, because those are things you can adjust to. But what if it's just not completely ready for this moment, or the Knicks as a team aren't good enough for this moment?
Then they lose.
I'd have a different perspective than both of you, though. I don't see... The Knicks were outgunned in Game 1. Randle and Barrett were not great, which happens. It happens in random games. It happened during the season in random games. And then Randle came out slow in Game 2. I still think when we talk about it, though, we're underselling what he did in the second half. He was not a dud in Game 2. I would argue he won them Game 2. He had critical possessions in the second half that won them the game. Now, if he comes out and gives you Game 1 Randle again, which is whatever he had, 13 or 15 points spread out throughout the game, never had a big impact, that's really problematic. But I got the sense, guys, he had 2 points in the first half in Game 2. If he had played the second half of Game 2 throughout this series, we wouldn't be talking about him having any issues.
Yeah, but so the bottom line is he's shooting 28% from the field. So 3 out of 4, well, let's put it this way.
He's had one good half.
7 out of 8 quarters, or 3 out of 4 halves, he's been terrible. That can't go on.
And yeah, because here's the thing. Peter's absolutely right. And this leads to him not – it's not that he's not ready for the moment, because he came up big and he helped them win.
In the biggest moment, when it was truly – when they were truly up against the wall is when he came up biggest.
He's truly a star – true star players that when one part of their game is off, they can compensate by being really good at the other part. But still, you'd have to agree that this is not a juggernaut offensive team. And if Randle's going to give you 15 a night, that's probably not going to be good enough in this series. So that part of his game has to step up. The other stuff, you know, he's going to be committed to defense. He's going to play well-rounded basketball. But, Peter, for a team that's not going to go out there and score 125 points a night, you know, they're going to need him to score more than 15. He's going to have to do better than shooting under 30% if this team's going to win.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I still assume that'll happen. And I think if we come back here on Monday and we're talking about one or two games, you know, in which he laid the egg again, we're probably having a different conversation about Julius Randle. And in fact, had he laid the egg in the second half 2 days ago, we'd be having a different conversation about Julius Randle. But he didn't. He didn't. He stepped up in the most pivotal moment, and they won the game as a result, in my opinion. So I guess we don't disagree. I'm just going half full here. I assume he's going to continue on from what we saw, and I agree with Michael. I do think he will be better in Atlanta, and feel less pressure for two reasons. Number one, being in Atlanta and not being at home. And number two, the fact that he's now coming off of a good performance at the end of that game.
Now, you can look and say the Knicks didn't play well on the road this year, 16 and 20. Yeah, but I'm comparing it to what went on in games one and two, because I think they lost game one, and they didn't lose game one by a lot. They came out, and they were overwhelmed by the ferocity of the crowd. Overwhelmed, I thought, because these are people that have never played in a playoff game. Most of them had never played in a playoff game. And I think it really knocked them back. And if anything, game two was even louder with more ferocity. And I think that might have affected the Hawks because they missed a lot of open shots down the stretch. A lot. I also think it might have adversely affected the Knicks overall. That's why I think they could hit reset and just play basketball tonight. Just play basketball. Now, in terms of loud crowds, you know, everybody's saying what happened at the Garden, what happened in Philly, that's going to, I think Peter even said it yesterday, that's going to lessen the vitriol that the Boston crowd will throw to Kyrie Irving. And I think it's total nonsense. I think they are going to go after him. They're going to boo him so lustily that I don't think anything affects Kyrie. I just don't. I think he's in his own space, but they will attempt to. So for those, and I think that Kyrie was very bright after the second game talking about how, you know, I hope they're civil and stuff, because he's trying to defray it, but it's not going to happen. He left them. He said, I don't want to play here, after having said he was going to play an entire career there. So I just, there's nothing to sink your teeth into with the Nets and the Celtics. The Celtics are overmatched. Tatum has been neutralized. And Kemba is hurt. He's not playing 100%. They have no chance. Can they take a game? I guess they could take a game. My inclination is that they're not going to. I think the more interesting series happens to be the Knicks against the Hawks. I really believe that that's the most interesting series.
That's the only take. I mean, even if the Celtics somehow, like, you know, the crowd is crazy tonight, Tatum goes off, Walker's good, and it's one of those, like, Boston moments where, you know, just a team that's historically good and has a proud fan base, they step up and they win one game. Even if that happens, Michael, it's not going to become an interesting series.
I agree.
There's no
agree.
I could see them. You're right. I could see tonight being one they somehow steal, and then they lose 4-1. But it's not going to become an interesting series.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call and then kicking off the calls today. Michael, I completely agree with you about Randall. I thought somewhere on the mid third period, like it light turned on and he was like the Randall vote. I think the moment was too big in New York for him, and I think he's gonna be your 25 point Randall, you know, in Atlanta.
Let's hope. That's the only way to root, Sam. That's the only way to root. It just simply is, because this guy, most improved player, that's, you know, he has an award for it now. He carried this team, and, you know, it's not the Batman and Robin that we envision for the Knicks down the road, but, you know, a good running mate for him is Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose has played great. I just worry about Derrick Rose having to play that many minutes for this entire series. You know, how much is he leaving of himself out there?
Listen, I don't think that Derrick Rose is going to give you 39 minutes every single night. But I do think one of the reasons that Thibodeau saved him the way he did was so he could give you more right now. Derrick Rose is in the NBA because he wanted to still have these moments, right?
Yeah.
This is what he's here for.
Now, he's an old 32. He's got a lot of mileage, a lot of injuries he's dealt with, but Peter's right. He's made for this moment. Now, if you fancy the Knicks making a run, I don't think you can win four rounds relying on him. But you might be able to do that for this series.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they could get a series out of him. But, again, what worries me is games 3 and 4 are very close together. So, game 3 tonight, and then it's the early game on Sunday. So, there's no rest at all. It's a very quick turnaround. So,
hey, let's remember what this team did on their West Coast trip, though.
True. True. But I think that I think the thing that benefited this team, and we've gone over this over and over, and Don has made a point of it as well, they play hard every night. A lot of teams in the NBA don't during the regular season. They took advantage of that. Julius Randle brings it every night. Every night. Now everybody brings it every night. So the scale's a little bit even. Let's see how they react. Yeah, the Hawks are a good team. If you go position for position, talent for talent, they have more talent than the Knicks. The Knicks always talk about, their big 15. Well, they're going to need the whole bench. They are. I like what Toppin did in that game. I didn't like what Quickley did. I don't think he played well. He's got to step up a little bit as well. It'll be interesting to see if Thibodeau starts Payton today or if he just throws that out the window and goes totally with Derrick Rose. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Felix in Queens. Felix.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
Queens.
You?
Good. First time caller. I've been a big fan of yours, Mike, for a long time. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about game 3 tonight. Just seeing kind of the games just over the regular season between the Knicks and Hawks. Trae Young, he's pretty much went off every single game, but the Knicks still find a way to win. I think, obviously, we can't ride Derrick Rose the way we did in game 2. And I do think Randle is going to turn the page, being that he's away from the Garden. I think if he has anywhere between 20 and 30 points tonight and he just does his normal thing, I think we're definitely going to be fine. I think Trae Young's still going to get his 30 points, but it's just a matter of Randle doing his thing and us maintaining the same defensive intensity we have all year long.
Well, I would agree. What worries me about the Hawks is that Hunter had a terrible game in game 2, missed wide open threes,
and so
Collins
did
had a terrible game.
Oh, yeah, Collins, too, and Bogdanovich.
So, I mean, are those guys going to be held down again? And were they held down by the Knicks defense, or were they held down by the fact that that crowd got really loud? Now, Kevin Huerter said about the crowd tonight, all you've heard about for the last week is how great and how loud MSG is, how crazy their fans are, how it's great to have New York basketball back, blah, blah, blah. We are ready to get back in front of our fans and hear them and flip the script a little. Now, how about this? I didn't know this stat. The Hawks finished the season with the NBA's longest active home winning streak of 11 games in a row. Longest for them since 14-15. The Hawks are 19-2 in their last 21 home games. So they got that against them, but I believe that it will benefit the Knicks. Now, does it benefit the Hawks? I never thought of the Hawks as Atlanta as a real home court, home field advantage ever. We'll see if it is, but I think it helps the Knicks more than it helps the Hawks.
In prime Braves, tomahawk chop was their home field advantage for the Braves?
Yeah, that's why they lost all those World Series.
Oh, that's a great point. So the answer would be no then, never.
I do think sometimes that could be a tad like overrated. You know, I think a crowd can lift you up a certain level, but at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and execute and you got to play.
Well, right, you know what the most underrated part of it is, Don? That every time there's an amazing home crowd that's incredibly anti the away team, it's equal motivation for the away team.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, who doesn't get up when you're being hated by an entire stadium? Now, if to Michael's point, if you're young, you may be ill-prepared. But if you're a team with veteran play, like Pittsburgh is a place in hockey, for example, that's always incredibly up for big games. The whiteout in Pittsburgh, it's the same in Washington with the red towels. It's always the same thing. If you're a team that has experience, you get up no matter where you are.
Let's go to Vinny in Greenwood Lake. I don't know where that is, but it sounds beautiful. Hey, Vin.
It's up north of Passaic County.
Okay.
Or New York. No, New York State, right?
Yeah, New York, New Jersey. Hassel Lakes, New York, Hassel Lakes, New Jersey.
What side are you on?
I'm on the New York side.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Vinny. Yeah. All right, what do you got?
All right, I just wanted to talk to you guys about Obi Toppin. It looked like he really was feeding off the crowd, had it going. And then, you know, his minutes, I know Randall's his minutes, but maybe get those two on the court at the same time.
You know, I don't think that Thibodeau, Vinny, likes to put them both on the court at the same time. And that's why Obi didn't see a lot of time this year because, you know, Randall was so invaluable and so effective and so great that that cost Obi Toppin minutes. And I know that that dunk electrified the Garden, but he also is a little for – he's young and he plays a little out of control. I like the energy that he brings. But if you see a lot of Obi Toppin today, probably not a good thing. That means that Randall's not playing well. Because I just don't think that Thibodeau thinks they fit together. Those are pieces that don't fit. That's why he didn't play much this year. Let's go to Gino in Staten Island. Gino!
Happy Friday.
Same to you, bud.
Gino.
Quickly, guys, I got to ask Peter and Michael. Is today the official start of the Summer of K? Is it Memorial Day weekend? Or are you guys going off like the June 22nd Fugazi date?
I'm going with Memorial Day, Monday. So when I could start wearing white pants, the Summer of K begins.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Hey, I'm done for the day for work. I was ready to go get Petey's address, meet you guys for some beers. The Summer of K, I'm ready today.
What time? The Summer of K.
What time do the Yankees play Monday?
1 o'clock.
I may be over at your house. Yeah. I might be over with a six pack at 5 p.m. when you get home.
Why don't you do it? It doesn't seem like you're in New York.
We'll pregame at your magnificent apartment, and then we'll hit the stadium, and then we'll go to Billy's after. We're staying.
I love it.
This sounds like a
got
plan
it going on. I like it, Gino.
Andrew, before I get off, I'll give you my contact info.
There you go. We'll see you there.
What's scary about the world is that anybody who knows how to operate, you know, any kind of a computer can find Peter's address or my address or Don's. It's very scary.
I mean, you need to be a bit stalkery, but yeah.
No, it's very easy.
Why are you saying this right now?
Because everybody who can do it knows. It's crazy. I just want to alert people. A lot of people send stuff to my home address to sign. I throw it out. Anything that is not a bill or something like that, don't waste your time. And if it's something valuable, do not send it to the address that you find online, because I will never sign anything.
Many Topps Ginter baseball cards have been thrown in Michael Kay's garbage can.
Well, I don't think you have to do that.
No, you know what? Because I think it's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, but
you
I want
to send it to the stadium or the station? I'll sign whatever you want. Anything.
Somebody sent me this picture for us to sign.
And you opened it, and now – so that guy or gal – is then going to tell everybody, this is Don LeGreca's address, and he actually signed stuff that you send him. You're crazy, Don. You're crazy.
Well, I haven't done it yet.
And then they're going to start showing up at your house, and can we take a swim in the pool? That's what's going to happen.
And listen, I respect you, Michael, and I think it makes sense. You have a policy. You've been. This is not the first time you've said this. You're public about the policy.
I love to swim.
But I think you go down the road a little. You know, it's not like people are just going to start showing up and wanted to swim with Don's kids.
No, I don't. You get to point A to point B real quick. I mean, this. I think it's okay. I mean, listen. Is it a little disturbing that people investigate that? But it's. I think it's harmless. Don't come to the house.
And they've seen Don go crazy before. No one wants it with Don.
No. That will not be received well. Knocking on the door. If I see you roaming around my house, no.
Yeah.
Now let me
ask you a question, Peter. You're in a very strange location. It looks like you're in Fort Knox. It looks like you're outside. I don't know where you are.
It looks like he's in front of a closed Baby Gap in the mall.
Where are you?
I am at my parents'
house. That's
where
Peter gets his clothes, Don. I don't know if you realize.
Oh, Rick DiPietro.
He's waiting for it to open. Big Memorial Day sale coming up.
I'm in my parents' backyard. This is what Chevy Chase Maryland looks like.
Wow, they got a nice spread there.
This is brand new. My parents, at 70-something years old, finally decided to add something new and nice to their house, and it's this porch. They turned what used to be my basketball hoop area as a kid. It is now a lovely screened-in porch, and that's where I'm sitting right now.
That is
beautiful. That is really
lovely. I'm very happy for them. It's actually my parents get annoyed with me because I constantly use the word splurge with them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, splurge, live a little bit. They can't bury you with it. You know what I mean? And they did it. They got they made this Porsche. It's really beautiful. I'm happy for them.
No, it's very nice. But the way it was shot, the way that the blinds looked, it kind of looked like a gate, like in a closed store in a mall.
Like I'm waiting outside the Baby Gap for the new release.
Right. So you could slap it right on your back. Also, when you see a kind of extension like that to the home and the beautiful spread they have, obviously the McGovern campaign paid very well.
Well, they're still getting residuals from all the success of that.
Yeah, yeah, that one state that he won, I'm sure, really contributed to this. 1-800-919-3776. We have so much to do today. We have so much to talk about. Yankees and the Mets have weekend series. I'm so pumped up.
I'm
Summer
ready for tonight.
Summer K begins on Monday.
Oh yeah.
I recorded the audiobook last night. Got home at 2 in the morning.
I want to hear all about this.
Wow. I was, in a word, tired. I really was.
That's not the saying.
We can make the saying whatever we want.
Yeah, it's in a word. I guess in a word.
Yeah, in a word. 1-800-919-3776. The Nets and the Celtics. By the way, that'll be on Yes 2, and you could watch it on the Yes app as well. And then the Knicks against the Hawks, and that'll be on MSG. And I keep seeing that the national broadcast getting higher ratings than MSG. This must not be Knicks fans.
I was floored by it.
It's crazy.
I explained it. It's just that people are watching TNT or ESPN, if it's the weekend, for the playoffs, and they just keep it on there because it's all
well,
the coverage.
Well, they're dumb because I'm going to tell you why. You don't have some hack doing play-by-play. You have a Hall of Famer who's actually the national broadcaster as well, Mike Breen. Here's the deal. If the Mets made the playoffs and the Yankees made the playoffs, right, and we were allowed to broadcast the first round against the national broadcast, you know that SNY and Yes would have much higher ratings than the national broadcast. I don't get it. I don't get what Knicks fans are doing.
There is no way that a Knicks fan would prefer watching national over Breen and Frazier. There's no way. No possible way. So it has to be complete ignorance that Peter's right. It's been 8 years. They kind of forgot. They've been watching the NBA
playoffs.
And
by the way, and remember,
get promote. Yeah, that has to be.
Well, and remember, Turner and ESPN have real credibility in the NBA space. National baseball coverage, Don, you would agree, right, doesn't have near the loyalty that people have to TNT for basketball. There's no national baseball coverage that people are as dialed into as they are into TNT for basketball.
Right,
because
let's be honest, from a region, because baseball and hockey are regional sports, right? Where a lot of fans, they're not watching anything other than their team, so they're probably not watching a lot of national baseball and hockey.
But NBA,
you're watching LeBron, you're watching other NBA games, and so you're getting inundated with the promos of, hey, Knicks are going to be on TNT or whatever. You're right.
Can I make one comment, though, before we go to break, because Andrew's yelling at me?
Please.
Any Knicks fan, and this is against our company, too, any Knicks fan that's watching a national broadcast rather than watching MSG is a momo. A momo. That's all they are.
No,
they're
momos. I agree.
I mean, you could put that on a T-shirt. If you're not watching your local broadcast when you have an opportunity, the guys that brought you through the whole season, you are a momo. We'll be back on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
McGovern, Democrat, for the people.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Check it out now.
Don't we have to have a list? Come on, Anthony.
You're better.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right. I think this would be fun because there's a lot to consider. Top 5 player fan altercations.
Wow.
Well, Peter, I'll give you the layup.
Ron Artest.
Thought about it and made it number one.
That's probably
the right call. By a cup in Detroit, November 19th, 2004, and the rest would be known as Malice at the Palace. That's number one, my friend. Good pull, Peter. Good pull.
Oh, thank you.
I believe there was an altercation in the bullpen at Fenway Park, Yankees, Red Sox.
Well, there's a bunch. You got Jim Rice getting hit by batteries, and then you have him, a fan, taking his hat.
Right.
That was one. But I didn't consider either of those two.
Wow.
No. Good pull, though, Michael.
All right. The famous, I'm going to mess up the specifics of the game, but the Garden Ranger fiasco with fans fighting players.
Yeah, that would be number two, Peter. Also a good pull. That would be Terry O'Reilly going into the stands.
O'Reilly,
Mike
right.
Milbury showing support as a Boston Bruin and then hitting a fan with a shoe. December 23rd, 1979. I should say hitting him with his own shoe. That was big, and that's number two.
Hmm. Well, my good friend Rick DiPietro said Ty Domi.
Ty Domi's number three, a member
Thank
of the Leafs, March 29th, 2001. Michael, you'd appreciate this because this is what you want. You want fans to be punished immediately. Well, a fan in Philadelphia was heckling Ty Domi in the penalty box, leaning over the glass, and then the glass gave way. He falls into the penalty box and then gets pummeled by Ty Domi. So.
By the way, that's really the most poetic of all,
right.
Isn't it?
That's what Michael was asking to happen to the fan, right?
Yep.
Well, you know what? You're talking a good game. Now, all of a sudden, that plexiglass bends, gives way. And there you go. Ty Domi, number three. Good pull, Rick. Good pull.
See, I guess this isn't going to be called a fan interaction, but you know what? It should be, because his name was Fan Man, wasn't it? How about the Riddick Bowe, Andrew Galata? Oh, no, it wasn't Bowe Galata. Yeah, it was.
So don't hurt yourself.
Wasn't it Tyson Holyfield? The Fan Man came
into
the ring?
No, Tyson Holyfield wasn't Fan Man. It was Bowe. But there's Bowe Holyfield. There's the Bowe Galata riot at the Garden. But there's Bowe Holyfield outside when the Fan Man flew into the ring.
Was that the same Fan Man that during the 86 World Series? Am I remember, Michael?
I think it may be the same dude.
I think it might be the same dude.
I don't know.
But it's not on your list.
No. But I love the imagination, Peter.
Well, I mean, it's hard to beat someone flying into a boxing ring. I thought, I think it's worthy of something.
No,
but
how about worthy of a mention, for sure.
The snowball incident at Giant Stadium.
You know, that was pretty ugly, Michael, against the San Diego Chargers. I remember that was a Saturday game, but I don't have it there.
Fan.
Who are you taking out?
Right.
I believe it was a coach that was hit by the snowball.
Yep.
No Fan Man is really, that's tough for me. That's a travesty. I need the other sports, please.
Well, the other sports are both baseball. One we were not alive for. Michael, and Michael might have been, was alive but young for the other one.
Oh, well, one's the one we talked about, the Babe Ruth beating up, going to the crowd?
No, but you're close.
Ty Cobb beat the vinegar out of somebody.
Well, yeah, Ty Cobb is number five. Back in 1912, Peter, as a member of the Detroit.
My dad was born.
Tigers. Playing the Hilltoppers. A handicapped fan was really giving it to Ty Cobb.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and
my God. Oh,
reading
my, I was...
the story, Peter, it was really bad.
Wait, hold on.
What was being said to Ty Cobb.
Hold on. But the guy was disabled.
He was disabled.
I was going to say, from every story I've heard, Ty Cobb is not a great guy.
No, not.
And then you followed up with he beat up a disabled man in the crowd?
Yes, in 1912. Well, let me tell you something. MLB tried to suspend him, but the players, who all hated him, struck and was able to get the suspension nullified. I think he was fined like $100.
He might not have been a nice guy, Peter, but he got in on the ground floor and bought a truckload of Coca-Cola stock.
Is that true?
And died a very wealthy man late in his 90s.
Ty Cobb.
The Georgia Peach.
Yep.
Tyrus.
You and me.
Yep.
That's number five. Yeah, but
if you saw what
the handicapped person, or if you heard what he was saying, as Chris Rock would say, I'd understand. You know, it was
that bad, huh?
But still, he's handicapped. You can't do that.
By the way, guys, I think I'm going to have to go inside. I think that sound is the cicadas.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I'm seeing them now. They're flying everywhere. I forgot how repugnant this is. Oh, they're everywhere. Now that I'm looking, I forgot.
Oh, we need one to land on Peter during the show, Michael.
They're actually serving chocolate-covered cicadas, some chefs.
Ugh. Maybe that could be the bet, the football bet for next year. All right, Ty Cobb number five, so we still need number four. We got Ron Artest one, Mike Milbury and Terry O'Reilly two, Ty Domi three, Ty Cobb five.
Ty Cobb, yep.
So we got two ties on this list. How about that?
So you're not going to go with Schoenfeld and Donut and you fat slob?
No, because they never really official, they got right? into it verbally, and again, there's no fan.
Right. Oh! How about Spike Reggie?
No, I mean that was funny. But I'm thinking more violence. Yeah,
you want actual violence. You're going for violence.
Although this one was not violent, but it was very poetic. We were not. I was very, very young. Peter, you were not alive. Michael, you were very young as well. And it wasn't violent, but it was poetic.
Morgana, the kissing bandit.
No, but this one had a little bit more hate to it. But it, there
you know
was
who
no
Morgana
punches.
Is, Peter?
Was she the well-endowed woman who was running?
I don't know if well-endowed
people?
Really covers it.
I don't think. Buxom.
I don't think that covers it. Was she the well-buxomed woman that would go?
Yes, and kiss people on the field.
All right. This one I just threw out because I think it's interesting.
All right, give it to us.
All right. This would go back to April 25th, 1976, Michael. Rick Monday of the Chicago Cubs in the outfield in Los Angeles. Two fans bring a flag to set fire to and burn, and Rick Monday takes the flag away. I have that at number four.
That being above fan man flying into the boxing ring is one of the worst things you've ever done with this list.
The Daily Don, you moron!
I just thought it was
Daily
a fan. I thought of Mike Curtis laying out the fan who tried to steal the ball.
Okay.
That Maxwell going into the stands to punch a fan who was talking about his wife.
That's I think you got to put Mike Curtis high on that list, and I would take out anybody for that. But it's your list. You know, you do what you please.
But I wanted to have some fun and get the Rick Monday in there. You know, educate the masses, if you will. But that's my list.
Beautiful.
That was a very entertaining list. Some horrible omissions, but a great list.
Now, a player has come out and said exactly what he would do if he was spit on. Please stay tuned for this, because this guy is now emerging as one of my favorite players.
Tell me which player. Can you tell us which player?
It's a Celtic. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg yes. and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, you know that Monday is the official start of...
Summer of Kay.
That's right.
So I'm throwing caution to the wind today, and I'm going to consume one of my favorite beverages while we do the show, and I have it right here.
What is it?
I know it's not good for me. It's against everything I stand for. It's got 51 grams of carbohydrates, but I'm going to throw down a Yoo-hoo.
Wow.
Oh, that's the way to begin the summer of K, right? Don't that even care about calories.
It's not what I think about when I think of summer beverages.
Right.
But it's a delicious beverage.
It's one of the best ever. Let's be honest. Can we be honest with each other?
That's all we are. Do you guys notice, by the way, the sound of the cicadas is gone?
Because you went in the house.
Yeah. Now beware, the only other loud sound you have to look out for is that of loud Jews.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Well, I got my family, my girlfriend's here. There's a lot of people.
Oh, Miss Hatton's there.
Miss Hatton is in the house.
Right. Is there a fire pit at the house or what?
There's no fire pit here, no.
Too bad. All right, so we were talking about...
Bocce or something, right?
A player... Who, now, I for all the young listeners that we have, I'm not an advocate of violence.
No.
But there are some things that should be met with physical resistance. Being spit on, I believe, is one of them. Like, if Trey Young saw that jabroni spit on him, I think he has every right to crash the right side of his face in. Like, collapse the orbital bone. That's just me. Now, I'm not saying that you should do it. But I believe that people like that should be punished rather than just have their season ticket taken away. Well, Rachel Nichols tweeted this out. The Celtics' Tristan Thompson says he never had Boston fans direct that he actually did have Boston fans direct racist comments at him when he was an opponent here, but not since he joined the team. Because Kyrie was saying that he had racist comments when he was on the Celtics. And even today, Ian O'Connor had a story with Bob Cousy. He said, I don't know, you know, if it was like visiting players, I'm sure it happened. But, you know, Kyrie, if he heard it, he heard it. But he said, as for the incident involving Trae Young at MSG, Thompson said, I dare someone to spit on me. I'll follow you to your house.
You love that,
Tristan. Oh, the guy married a Kardashian, had a baby with one, and he feels like that. I mean, that's a home run of a life.
That's your kind of guy right there. Well, by the way, I'm a little miffed by this story and people continuing to say they don't know about it. Well, when I said, like I said yesterday, Marcus Smart wrote an article for The Athletic about being now, granted, it wasn't being heckled. It was good old-fashioned pure racism where the woman saw him outside the building, didn't know he was a Celtic, and called him the N-word. So maybe they're seeing that as different than fans being heckled. But Michael, you had Bill Russell on your show, didn't you?
Yeah.
Russell tells the stories of things that were sent to his house when he was the star of the Celtics, the coach of the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Boston's a lot different in 2021 than it was in the 1960s. But Russell tells the story that he went home one night and somebody had left human excrement in his bed.
It's crazy. So I just am surprised that people are saying, oh, I didn't ever hear about these experiences.
Here is Clint Capella talking about Trae Young getting spit on.
Yeah, I mean, no, that was definitely disrespectful, that spitting. Obviously, no one saw it whenever it happened. I saw it the next day when we were already back in Atlanta. This is crazy. And they should not get away with this that easy, I think. As a player, we should be respected. We come here to play basketball and not to get spit on. Like, this is the most disrespectful thing that you could do to a player.
He's right. Now, you can curse all you want. I don't think it's a nice thing to do, but you pay a ticket. You can say whatever you want, really. But, you tempt the fates if you get a little too personal. But spitting on someone, I don't know. A couple of people, Don, this guy on Twitter comes up with a really good player-fan brawl that you missed. Remember when the father and son came out of the stands and attacked the Kansas City Royals first base coach?
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was unbelievable. That was scary, actually. Scary.
But you know who should be red hot about this?
Who?
Along with the Hawks and Trae Young and the NBA are Knicks fans.
Yeah, because now they're all getting painted with this brush.
Because nobody is going to take the time or the nuance to say, oh, it's just one guy. Now it becomes New York. Now it becomes part of the reputation of Knicks fans. And that kind of just takes away from what should be a tremendous celebration of how great the Knicks fans have been, how supportive they've been, and how overwhelmingly positive that fan base should feel right now about their team being in the playoffs and even at a game apiece. But instead, this one guy, has brought down the reputation of this franchise.
The franchise of the fan base.
The fan base, excuse me, yes.
And it's wrong. And, you know, the people around him should have, like, they should have pointed him out. You don't want to be, you know, snitches get stitches, but this guy deserved to be dragged out of the place. He just did. But anyway, they found him. Garden security found him on video, and boom, he's not allowed back into the garden for any event. He can't even go for the circus if the circus returns to the garden.
So he's out. No Billy Joel.
No Billy Joel. No Jay-Z concert. Nothing. No Harlem Globetrotters. Nothing. Rangers,
right.
No. Now, there is something to be said for simply not caring what people say about you or public negativity. Because the Garden announced today, only Dolan would do this, and I got to give him props. If we go on to the next round, where there will be 100% capacity, 19,000 plus, and everybody who steps into that building has to be vaccinated. Now, I'm amazed. I've said it on the air. I've spoke to people off the air about it, that when I see the Mets play a game at Citi Field, that it's limited to what? 12,000 people. And the Yankees play a game at Yankee Stadium, it's limited to about 15,000. And I've talked to people from both sides, and a lot of it has to do with the fact, and they try to explain it, it doesn't sink in with me, that it's this, it's that, don't want to alienate people that don't believe in vaccine. Well, Dolan has no problem. Dolan has no problem doing that because you know what? He's making money. You know, next weekend here at Yankee Stadium, where I'm sitting right now, the Red Sox are coming into town. The first place Red Sox are coming into town. And before them, the second place Tampa Bay Rays are here for four games. Every single one of those seven games would be sold out. But we're going to hold on ceremony because you don't want to alienate people that don't believe in the vaccine? How come Dolan doesn't care? And believe me, on the political spectrum, Dolan is closer to what you would say, I don't want to get into trouble, but Dolan is not worried on either side of the aisle. I'm packing the garden to make money. Instead, teams sit back and they're just acquiescing to a minority because they don't want to get sued, I guess, but they have no problem at the garden doing that. None. Now he said, next series, everybody who walks into that building has to be vaccinated. Who's complaining? Well, I think that teams that are not doing that are afraid of the negative feedback they'd get. I wouldn't care.
Well, is it worth the aggravation? That's what it really comes down to, right? Because we just found out that the Coliseum is going to be up to 12,000. So I'm sure the Coliseum, as they continue on in the series against Boston or advance to the third round, they're probably going to be at capacity as well. Because what it comes down to, forget about politics and everything else, it just comes down to how much heat am I willing to take? And for a playoff game and the importance of a playoff game and what that means to the fan base, Jim Dolan can do this. Ledecky and Malkin can do it with the Islanders and feel like, go ahead, go at me. These are playoff games. They're important. Our fan base wants it. And maybe the Mets and Yankees are like, all right, I'm willing to go there for a regular season game, but am I willing to take the slings and arrows for a regular season game in May? You know, the Islanders and the Knicks and the Nets might be able to do it because they're playoff games. And they feel it's worth it. Maybe the baseball teams feel it's not worth it for a regular season game to get that kind of heat.
Listen, they're not calling me for advice. If I'm Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen, you know the millions of dollars that they're losing with empty seats? And they still have to pay their players 100% of their salaries. If I could get 50,000 in this ballpark every day next week, I'm doing it. I'm sorry, I'm doing it. I will take all the negativity that comes with it.
I mean, places are doing it. You know, Comedy Cellar is all only way to get into Comedy Cellar is vaccinated.
Hey,
I mean, Michael, it's a small venue, but people are making those decisions.
And with Strain, again, I know it's a different state, but the Somerset Patriots that are owned by the New York Yankees, a AA affiliate of the New York Yankees, tonight, if the game is played, I don't think it will be because of the rain, first date, 100% capacity in the building. So why can one of their minor league affiliates have 100% capacity and not the Yankees?
I'm just amazed about next week. Next week! I mean, when the stadium would be crackling with energy, it's going to be 15,000 people. Same thing with the Mets. It's going to be about 13,000 people. I mean, does it make let's even step aside for a moment. Does it make sense that an outdoor venue should have less capacity than an indoor venue? Because if you do follow the science, it's very difficult to transmit the virus outdoors. Not impossible, but difficult. Indoors, different story.
All right. So I want to know why this is. I mean, Mets are playing the Braves this weekend.
Everybody that I've spoken to gives me some gobbledygook talk, and nobody has a real good reason. I don't get it. I don't understand what it's about.
Well, but I would think that if the governor or the mayor gets involved and says, well, if I've got one fan base getting to or one building that's 100%, why can't everything be equal? Well, just because one's a playoff game and I care about that, but I don't care about the regular season games? Like, I don't understand. Because there are people, believe it or not, that care more about the Mets and Yankees than they do about some NBA playoff game. They just,
absolutely.
And they want to go to Yankee Stadium or they want to go to Citi Field and watch their team play. You know, and so I would think if I'm a governor, if I'm a mayor, I understand the science and I understand there are rules, but why is it okay for the Garden to be full, the Coliseum close to being full, and yet Citi Field and Yankee Stadium are still at, you know, a 35% capacity? Like, why? And it just seems to me like they're letting the owners do what they want to do, and Dolan's taking advantage of the loophole or the extra advantage that he's being given, I guess.
Well, Karen Veenstra just makes a really good point on Twitter. She said, either way, you're discriminating because non-vaccinated people have to sit in certain sections and wear masks. So that almost feels worse. If discriminating either way, why not make money off of it?
By the way, best point Karen Veenstra's ever made. It's so true. So you have like this weird segregated situation where you have all the vaccinated people, unvaccinated there. You got to wear a mask. It does just seem silly. And by the way, I mean, also people could just take a stand and feel like, hey, we think people should get vaccinated. So if you want to come to our building, get vaccinated. But of course, people don't want to say that.
It's a very odd time, and you can't figure it out. I wish I could. I know a lot of people have tweeted at me. Why can't I? Don't know. And here's the thing that maybe. Somebody brought this up on Twitter, too. When you're selling playoff tickets, it's a complete blank slate. All right, here's 19,000 tickets. But the Yankees and the Mets have season ticket holders who might not be vaccinated and don't want to get vaccinated. Yeah, so then what do you do with them?
Yeah, but even the Knicks and Nets and Islanders have season ticket holders that get first dibs at playoff tickets.
Yeah, but those first dibs, now they know they have to be vaccinated to go. But you pre-purchased these tickets. You don't pre-purchase playoff tickets. You're offered to buy them, and you have first choice if you're a season ticket holder. But if you know the only way I can get in is to be vaccinated, that's a different story then.
True.
You've already sold 81 games to season ticket holders, and they really carry the freight with baseball teams because even if it's a bad game, those tickets are sold. Maybe both teams just don't want to alienate that fan base. I don't know.
But they've got 65% of an empty building, right?
Yes.
Citi Field tonight, we're only allowed 35%, right?
Yep.
I mean, so you can come up with more vaccinated sections if you wanted to. You could fit more people in there if you wanted to. But I guess they don't want to alienate the people that don't want to get vaccinated. They don't think it's worth the fight for a regular season game. But here's the hypocrisy, Michael, is that I don't know how we'll see how things change, but what if we get to October? And it's still that kind of... Well, maybe it's up to 50%, maybe it's up to 60%, whatever. And then the playoffs come, and then they'll say, okay, well, now we'll do it. Like, so why not just do it now?
I don't know. And when you consider what a full house means in money to the Yankees and the Mets, the money they're leaving on the table... Because, I don't understand. Nobody's told me exactly why. But if it's for, you know, you don't want to get the negative feedback, Dolan doesn't care.
Yeah, Dolan doesn't care.
He doesn't care, and he's making money that he wouldn't make if he cared.
And remember, the money that the Yankees and the Mets are losing, that's money they expected to get under normal circumstances. Playoff money's found money. Knicks didn't know they were making the playoffs this year. They had no idea that they were going to get this windfall, right? They were predicted to win 22 games. So this is all gravy.
Yep.
Where the Mets and the Yankees were kind of counting on, because this is the regular season, this is where you count on getting money. And the Islanders to a certain extent too, because the Islanders aren't playing to full capacity. But that's found money, Michael, for them, but they're still playing, I guess, quote-unquote, by the rules. They're trying to expand it as much as they can, but that building can still squeeze in another 4,000 or 5,000 people, and they choose not to do it.
Michael, everything all right?
Isn't it wonderful, Peter? I'm glad you brought it up. Don talked right through an emergency. I don't know what's going on here. I've never heard this siren going off. There are lights flashing. There's been some kind of announcement. Don talked right through it. I just think that's wonderful.
Well, I don't think that we have to call attention to every dog that barks, every insect
that makes
a noise. No,
but this is like an emergency broadcast system sort of thing.
I thought that because Peter's the one that was outside, I forgot that he had moved inside, that it was probably just some kind of disruption at Chevy Chase.
I've been Chevy Chase.
Somebody drove a car that was a little undesirable, and the police converged on it.
Michael's in the South Bronx. I'm in Chevy Chase. There has not been a siren here.
You're not going to hear a cop car go by at the stadium. I didn't know there was actually an alarm in the stadium, Peter.
Well, all the more reason you should have been alarmed.
Now, Joni G just tweets out, and I want to be fair to everybody, said, please stop saying people who don't believe in the vaccine. Some of us are medically unable to get the vaccine and instructed by our doctor not to get it.
True.
Okay.
That's true.
All right, Joni. Okay. But most of the people that don't have the vaccine
are choosing
don't want
to
get it.
We're playing
it. They're not in your situation. Most of the people that don't have it, for some reason or another, just don't want it. Don't believe in it. Don't feel that they have to do it, and that's their right. So if you are one of the people that are unable to get it, I apologize, and I will include you in the statements next time.
But I think the overwhelming majority of people unvaccinated because they choose not to get vaccinated.
Right, and that's their right as Americans. You don't want to do it, you don't want to do it.
Oh, I have I have a good handful of people in my life who are not wanting to do it, and it is an agree to disagree kind of moment.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to judge you, at least publicly.
But I can just throw one thing out there.
Yep.
You realize that without vaccines, New York City would not function as a city. Wouldn't exist. We'd all be dead. We would have been dead decades ago. There's no world in which, without vaccinations, cities like New York are able to function.
You mean vaccinations in general.
Correct.
Right. But there's never been a time, Peter, where you were not allowed at Madison Square Garden.
No,
because you didn't get a flu shot or a tetanus shot or something, right? So that's what's interesting, and people feel like that their liberties are being infringed upon because they're being told you can't do something unless, and we've never as a country reacted well to that.
I am so enjoying this Yoo-hoo.
I could tell.
Oh, so good. There's very, very few tastes that are better than this.
I enjoy what I enjoy.
Right.
It's not, what is it? It's chocolate water, right? I mean,
I
it's
don't
not
care
carbonated.
What it is. Don't ruin it for me. No,
I'm not
it's
ruining
not
it. I'm just asking the question. I always wondered myself.
It's not
it's
water,
not chocolate
though.
Milk.
It's not
kind
milk.
Of chocolate water.
It's not carbonated.
No.
Hold on.
It's a delight.
It doesn't, it feels like milk. It doesn't feel like water. Yoo-hoo is milk adjacent confirmed.
But it does say Yoo-hoo chocolate drink.
Right. So that's what I'm asking. It's chocolate what? Listen,
right.
I'll drink a gallon of it. I'm not afraid. I'm
You'll
just
take it to the
curious.
Face. Sure.
I've always been curious.
Urine.
What
I
is
mean,
it?
If it was chocolate urine, I'd have a problem with it. If it's chocolate drink, I'm fine.
I don't think
I'm
they'd
fine.
Sell that, Michael, and I think it would wane in popularity over the years.
Yoo-hoo chocolate urine?
Yeah.
It's a new brand expansion they could consider.
Wow. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. Your phone call's coming up next. We still have the breakdown Yankees and the Mets waiting on the Yankee lineup. So please, settle in. Enjoy us until 6:30. And then coverage of the Knicks. It's going to be great. You can hear it here. We keep saying we're going to watch it. You can hear it right here on 98.7. And tomorrow's the Islanders right here on 98.7. Right, Don?
Oh, sure.
Right. 7:30 pre, 8 o'clock puck drop.
Okay. Testing. Uh-oh. Oh, they're testing the alarm. That's all. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So, never
thank
mind
you very
the show.
Much.
Yeah. It's on their network.
All right. Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right. It is time for tonight's New York Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. There's no Met lineup. The game has been postponed with the Braves tonight.
No.
Yep. Second postponement in three games for the Mets. The game will be rescheduled to be determined, but it will not be this weekend. Anthony DiComo, who covers the Mets for MLB.com and does a great job, said the Braves do not come back to Queens. The Braves do come back to Queens next month, but there's no mutual off day. And if the Mets play a doubleheader that series, they would have three doubleheaders in a seven-day stretch. But by then, the Mets will also theoretically be healthier. So the Met game is rained out. That's tonight's Mets starting lineup, which doesn't exist. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
Think about this, Michael. They've played seven less games than Philadelphia. They have played five less games than Atlanta. 6 less games than Miami and 4 less games than Washington. That's got to catch up to you. They're going to be playing a lot of consecutive days with all these, with the COVID, with Washington, the makeups there, the rainouts that they've had. They've got a lot of baseball to play.
But the bottom line is that they'll be playing it closer to full strength than they are now. That's a good point to make.
No, that's a good point, but I think it's countered by the fact that they're not going to have a lot of days off down the stretch of the season.
All right, let's go to the phones. Andrew in Medford. Andrew.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hello.
Listen, it's a pleasure to listen to you guys. It's such a great show.
Thanks.
And the only other show I could think of, really, Michael, that's greater is when you're doing the Yankee games with Cohn and O'Neill.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Listen, I got a couple quick things to say, and I want to say about a fan-player altercation I had personally that you guys find entertaining. I just want to say quick, roughly off the top of my head, when you're talking about, you know, the Yankees and Mets not filling the seats, without concessions, looks like over $2 million a game, and that's not even counting concessions that they're losing in. Also, in the Yoo-Hoo drink, Michael, that you love so much, mm-hmm. Do you drink it because of Yogi Berra inspired you to drink that?
I'm sure it didn't hurt matters, but to be honest, I drink it because it's excellent.
Excellent. Listen, I have a thing for you to Google. It's called Ripple Chocolate Drink, and it's a good health drink. It's a plant-based milk with vitamin B12 in it, too, and it's got half the sugar. And I just like to see you Google it. Maybe you'll like it, you know?
Okay.
Doesn't sound very Summer of K, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's not about health this summer. But...
All right, now my story. Do you remember back in the day, I don't know if it was 95, around then, the Islander Rangers, they would take the train to play each other. Like, the Islanders would go up to the Garden. Coming home from work, I was union plumber in construction, so hard day, right? I had my bag over my shoulder, I'm going down the stairs to the track. And there's a train that just came in, and there's a line of people coming up the stairs. So all of a sudden, as I'm going down the stairs, this one person leans over and gives me an elbow into my rib, like didn't appreciate me going down the stairs. So I returned the favor. It's a typical New Yorker. I elbowed him right back in the rib.
There we go.
I pushed and shoved him. And he went into the railing, and he made like this smug smile, and he kept walking. And I noticed a few people behind them didn't even want to look at me. They were like all concerned and nervous. And then there was a police officer at the top of the stairs. He looked down, and I thought, oh, a cop, right? And he quickly looked away. And I'm like, wait, what's going on here, you know? So the time I get to the bottom of the stairs and go on the train, I see the newspaper articles and everything. Islanders taking the train for the first time to play the Rangers. I realized I just had an altercation with the Islanders. I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Kasparaitis. I know
that's
a
what I was thinking
player.
Of. The whole time you were talking, I'm like, he's going to say Darius Kasparaitis.
Well, if it was Kasparaitis, more would have happened.
Why? Is he known as a bad guy?
He is Kasparaitis does not avoid a scrap.
Really?
Yeah, he does, or avoid trouble.
Or avoid trouble in general, or dirty tricks, or anything. He was a Penguin for a long time, too.
Interesting.
That's who I thought it was. I got to look at the 95-96 Islander team and I'll come up with somebody.
Don, aren't you glad you have me here for our random occasional hockey conversations?
Today's Yankee starting lineup against the Tigers brought to you by Bigelow Tea right here, right now. Playing first base, leading off, DJ LeMahieu. Back in the lineup, off the IL, is Giancarlo Stanton.
All right, that's good news.
He's a DH. Batting third, the right fielder, Aaron Judge. Gio Urshela at third base cleans up. Batting fifth, the shortstop, Gleyber Torres. Batting sixth, second baseman Rougned Odor. Clint Frazier in left field will bat seventh. Batting eighth and catching, Kyle Higashioka. And batting ninth and playing center field, it's Brett Gardner. Starting for the Yankees is the great Gerrit Cole, 6-2, 1.81. And starting for the Tigers, a real talented youngster, Casey Mize, 3-3, 3.42. And he'll be making his first start against the Yankees. That's today's Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. Don, did you find what you're looking for?
Well, no, I'm just looking at who it could have been. I think Rich Pilon could have been a guy. How do you not find out, by the way?
Yeah. Well, you couldn't.
Why?
You mean like right away go look up the pictures of the players?
Yeah, just try to figure out who it was.
Can I throw an idea out there?
Maybe it's made up.
There you go.
I don't think so.
Wow. Let's go to Tommy in Queens. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Hope you got a nice crisp Yoo-Hoo sitting by your side.
Oh, so good.
So I had one quick question because you bring me up Friends and the Ross and Rachel moment. I had to ask you guys, you know, just because I very much respect all of your opinions. What was the more monumental moment of sitcom? Was it Ross and Rachel finally getting together, or was it Jim and Pam from The Office finally getting together as a couple?
Wow. Oh. That is one of the greatest TV questions of all time.
Now, I'll give you my take, and Peter and Don can chime in.
Well, this is going to be so obvious. But
No. I Jim and Pam, you watch The Office and you go, why aren't they together? They're both two good-looking people, two of the normal people in that office. Ross and Rachel, you kept wondering, why are they getting together? He's such a schmo, and she's got it all together.
No.
So I think that the two of them getting together in the museum when he rolled over on the juice box, that was a bigger deal.
No. Well, first of all, it's completely biased because Michael's bad taste makes him a Friends guy over The Office. I mean, excuse me, Pam was engaged to Roy.
Good point.
Did they not get together? Because she was engaged to Roy. But you had to go through her engagement. You had to deal with Jim moving to another branch, dating a new woman, her getting
Jones.
Back together.
Rashida Jones.
That's right, Rashida Jones. Her getting back together with Roy. They had to go through all of this for us eventually to get there. That's why Jim and Pam, much more iconic than Ross and Rachel.
All right, let me throw this at you, okay?
Go ahead.
Jennifer Aniston, the first episode of the show, she leaves her wedding to the doctor. Then Ross has to wait as she sows her wild oats with Paolo. And then her assistant, Tag, she's just laying waste to everybody. And Ross has to sit there through his wife leaving him for a woman. Then all his girlfriends. There was so much tension. Come on. That was bigger.
Now, Don, is it bad?
I'm going to tell you what. I'm the perfect person to answer this question because I enjoyed both shows. I'm not a fanboy of either.
I'm a fanboy.
But I like both. But and I think you love Friends as much as Peter loves The Office. And
I love
like
The
both.
Office. I love The
no,
Office.
You don't. No,
yes,
you
I
don't.
Do.
No, you like it.
But
okay, I like it. That's fair.
And both had tremendous back and forths. But from an iconic standpoint, Friends was bigger, and that ended up being more iconic.
Friends.
That was part of the everyday of television.
Yes, good point. No,
will
that was
they,
part
won't
of the,
they. That was a big deal.
Also, Don, that was at the center of Friends. Those two end up getting together. That was the center. That was the thing the whole show revolved around. Jim was not the center of The Office.
Yeah, it was.
No. That the whole show was not predicated on them getting together because they got together. What, the last three seasons?
No, more than that.
Okay. Ross
and then,
Rachel,
and then they went on and
together,
had a family.
They went on a break together. They went on a break. They didn't really get together until she got off the plane the last episode.
I can't believe how much you remember about that show. But
love that.
Also, I'll say something. Jim, The Office just crosses so many more cultural boundaries than Friends did. Listen, and over time, you're right. In the moment when the shows were on TV, no doubt, as an Office guy, I'll admit it, Friends was bigger. No doubt. But when history tells the story and you see what Peacock, the numbers that The Office does on Peacock, by the way, you're only home for the WWE Network, $4.99 a month includes the WWE Network. Fantastic deal.
You know, you're out of your mind even bringing that up. I mean, HBO Max built the whole thing around getting Friends. Stop it.
What do you mean?
This is
No.
This seems like a losing effort, Peter.
No. Hold on. The Office right now is the most streamed thing on planet Earth.
Right, because PIX is showing like every night two
no,
episodes
streamed.
Of Friends.
Streamed. Maybe
Don's
so.
What saying is, why do you have to stream it? It's on TBS and it's on PIX.
All I know is my 13-year-old niece and nephew know every single episode of The Office. The future is bright for Jim and
Pam.
Listen,
if I had a choice between which show I'm going to watch, I'd watch The Office.
Of course
I
you
want
would.
Friends.
But I'm just saying that from an iconic standpoint, Friends is bigger. Jarv brings up one that was very good. It probably comes in third, but it was very, very good, and I love the show. Was Niles and Daphne with Frasier.
Also, I didn't understand that. Why would Daphne ever be with a clown like Niles?
Again, Don, same thing. Don, over geek. And over and over again. It's unbelievable. He's
Why
got
is it
like
unbelievable?
This blind spot.
There's no way that a woman like Daphne would ever end up with Niles.
Well,
ever.
That's TV.
And
From
also,
the
hold
King
on.
Of Queens to the Honeymooners to the Flintstones, a cartoon.
Hold on. And by the way, this is not an indictment of the quality of the show. But, Jarv, go ahead and sit out the next couple plays. Frasier's in no conversation about the iconic levels of Jim and Pam or Ross or Rachel.
Well, how about Sam and Diane?
Okay, now we can have a conversation.
Peter Boddy of the New York Post just tweeted us that.
No, Sam and Diane is a reasonable conversation to have.
Frasier's pretty big. Show.
Yeah, that's Cheers is gigantic.
And our PD, Ryan Hurley, said The Office is on Comedy Central constantly.
Yeah, it's on Comedy Central literally six times a day and is still the number one streaming show in the world.
All I know is that when HBO Max was going to launch, they paid six people that were on Friends $3 million to sit down for an hour. $3 million a piece.
Peter, you got to lay out.
That
what
was
you about what part?
HBO Max.
No, I don't care what mistakes HBO made with their money.
No,
that's not a mistake.
Peter.
That was money well spent,
Peter,
my friend.
Again, yeah. I don't have a dog in a fight. I'm neutral. I'm just telling you. And it pains me because I think
But hold on,
the show
what are you saying?
Overrated.
What are you trying to say?
I believe that Friends is painfully overrated. The Office is not even close to how iconic the
Do
I'm
you really
show,
believe
Pete,
that Peacock would pay all the people on The Office $3 million. I mean, Rainn Wilson would get $3 million to be Dwight Schrute? No.
I'll tell you this.
Because not enough people care.
I don't want your pity, Don, and I'm being clear and decisive about this. In its height, Friends was the bigger show than The Office was on television. Right now, in America, The Office is much bigger. Much bigger. Young people watch The Office constantly. Friends, people like Michael, pushing 60, 65, they're the ones who are excited for the reunion. But generationally, from 40 to 10, The Office is way more consumed than
you
Friends.
You know what? Just because you yell louder doesn't make you right.
But no,
it was Leonard and Penny, Don. Leonard and Penny from Big Bang.
See, and then, Don, don't you want to join my side when you hear arguments like that?
Well, Leonard that was a big part of that show.
Leonard and Penny. I don't even know who that is.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, okay, how about Stephanie and Triple H? Of Orange is the Throne. I mean, that was a big couple getting together.
Summer Fridays with the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by new Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. Let's towel off. This is getting hot right here.
I'm excited.
And 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. But if God got us,
then we gon' be all right. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go back to the phones. At 5 o'clock, we will reset with basketball. It's a big basketball night. Nets and the Celtics, Game 3. Knicks and the Hawks, Game 3. Nets and the Celtics will be on Yes 2 and on the Yes app. That starts at 8. And the Knicks and the Hawks will be on MSG. What's the time that? What time is the Knick game?
Seven.
Yeah.
7:30.
Is it 7 or 7:30?
Because the
7. So our pregame starts at 6:30.
And the Nets are 7:30.
So no big fella in it.
Nets are 8:30. So the coverage are yesterday.
Okay.
Two starts at 8. Let's go to Andre in the car. Andre.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing,
Michael K? Man, I'm good, man. Well, let me tell you about that. When you say how you doing to all your fans, man, and we appreciate that, but your friends in the morning, DCR, you really got to check these guys, especially your boy Rick. What I mean by that is this morning they were talking about how Michael K. started this. He always the one that says, hello, how you doing? And then, you know, as you always, we usually reply and say, we're doing good. We're getting a little conversation with you. I appreciate it. I do see some of your, you know, your listeners go on and on. I'm doing good. How are you doing? But with that said, you got to check Dave. Dave is a hater, man. But Rick, he tried to take your side, but then again, he was kind of saying, like, how you were always saying, yeah, this and that, you know. But definitely Dave. That's a hater,
well,
man.
Well, Dave's an evil human being, Andre, and thank you.
Wow.
Let's listen to this exchange, because Andre told Andrew what he was going to say. This is the exchange on DCR today. And I'll tell you, before they even say anything, it probably slows it down a little bit when I say, how you doing? But when somebody says, how I'm doing, I think it's only right to say, how are you doing?
I
don't know. I wasn't raised by wolves, okay? How you doing gets a how you doing. So here is the exchange on DCR.
Guys, I know who's to blame for the whole how you doing thing.
Who is
it? It's Michael K.
Oh, Rick's not going to agree with
every person that calls this show, they ask him, how you doing? And he also says, good, how are you? So I think he's the guy to blame for this whole how you doing thing.
Rick, how do you feel about that, blaming K for this how you doing?
Yeah, it's reprehensible. This is not K's fault.
Yeah,
nice
Dave,
guy.
Why would you even ask the question if you already knew the answer?
Why?
Because I wanted to see how he would backtrack here.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. But here's what people are misunderstanding. I'm okay with it. I think Dave's okay with it if it's consistent.
No, I'm not okay with that. I don't want every caller to ask me how I'm doing.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, you have to go into debts. Good.
Oh, good. Come on. Every single caller. All right, Steve and Holbrook, you're on 98.7. How you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. How you doing? I mean, stop it. It's completely unnecessary.
Come out wherever you are.
Well, I will tell you this. In a perfect world, I wish that we would pick up the phone and they would just get into it. But people are not scum. So when somebody picks up the phone, you go, hello, how you doing? And then you say it back. Yeah, does it slow it down? It probably does. It's not a perfect system.
No, and also it's a silly thing, right? How you doing? Nobody really cares how you doing. It's just something you say.
I
care.
And
then you feel like you're obligated to say it back. I'm with you, Michael. If I don't say it back, I feel empty, like I did something wrong.
Right.
But if you really break it down, how you doing? Okay, how are you? Nobody cares how you doing. It's just something you say. It's a crutch to kind of get the conversation going. And why would they ask you how you're doing when the caller before asked and you said you're good?
Well,
so
I
how
mean,
many times you got to say it?
It's very
but it's
fluid.
Just it's part of society. We're not going to break it all down. It's the way it goes. How you doing? Fine. How are you? When you ask somebody how they're doing and they start breaking down their day, you want to kill yourself.
Or God,
right?
or God
so
forbid,
really
breaking down in tears.
You really don't care. But you do it just because it's a tick and it's socially acceptable. So we live with it.
Imagine I got called out on this show, which you could hear from 5 to 8 every morning. You could blame Michael K for saying, how you doing? You know, there are worse things. Okay, I'll take it. I'll own that. I'm the guy who says, how you doing to people. I'm the guy who wasn't raised by wolves, okay?
Wow, this hatred you've developed for Dave is...
He's such a fraud. I mean, you know, people talk about egos in this business. You listen to Rothenberg when he does the show solo on Saturday. I've never seen a guy who loves himself more. He actually believes Don when Don says that he's the best pound-for-pound guy on the – he believes that.
He does speak with an air of confidence,
oh,
but that's
No. It's cockiness, Don.
I don't – I think there's a fine line between the two, but I don't think he crosses
it.
I think
he
he's
is
a confident talk show host,
line.
But I don't sense an ounce of conceit at all.
Oh, my goodness, Don.
Do you, Peter? And I listen a lot on Saturday morning.
An ounce of conceit? I don't listen on Saturdays. I don't know.
All right, thanks for playing.
Sorry, I got caught up in Twitter, people coming after me about The Office.
Because they're right. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. You know, your office take was so bad. I hope you go out later on after the show and the cicadas or cicadas just completely just dive bomb you.
At Don LaGreca, Rosenberg Radio is right. The Office is a significantly bigger show right now, so much so that NBC pulled it off Netflix for its own streaming service. On Netflix in 2020, number one streamed program, The Office, 57 million minutes streamed. Number
that's
one.
That's what you have to go on.
But you know that they pulled Friends off of Netflix so that it could be on HBO Max. So stop. That's a dumb argument.
Besides, you're going by the streaming, but Friends. And listen, I'd rather watch The Office. Everybody thinks that I'm jumping on the Friends bandwagon saying it's a better show. I think The Office is a better show. But a bigger show, a more iconic show, And it's on everywhere. It's on TBS. It's on Channel 11 here in New York. They play it at 12 and 12:30 every single night. So people are probably more exposed to it over the air on television, and then The Office, and they download The Office.
You know what, Don? You're probably right. And why am I sitting here fighting when I know the sick things that go on in this country, like people preferring the Friends to The Office?
All right, let's take a brief time out. We'll get you set up for basketball tonight. You could hear one of the games right here. It's been a fun show so far. Not exactly one that you could plan. Yoo-hoo, chocolate urine, everything. We've had everything on this show. Friends, The Office, a woman who's crushing on me. I think her name was Chrissy.
I would like to predict, Don, that out of context, the Michael clearing his throat directly into chocolate urine is going to be a top five seed. Yep.
I got
to
hear that.
That's what
back.
I'm saying. You
I
wait.
I need to hear it right away.
Calm down.
First of all, I wasn't clearing my throat. I was coughing. But thank you so much for caring.
What's a cough anyway?
It's clearing your throat. Thank you, Don.
No,
thank
I had
you.
Something in my throat.
Exactly. And you cleared it with a cough.
No, I didn't.
Well, then it didn't work.
I coughed, and that cleared it. I didn't go because my doctor who repaired my voice said, never clear your throat. It's the worst thing for it. Yeah. He said, anybody go to clear their throat, you're killing your vocal cords.
Really?
That's lesson one, my new class at the new school, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Let's go to John in Valley Stream.
My wife's been asking me a couple of questions about when your show's on. I get home yesterday, the game's off. So when I walk in, I say hello, I go to give her a kiss. She goes, that Michael K. has a great voice. Now, I'm trying to pinpoint when this little flush thing's going on, and I kind of got it to when you put the T-shirt on, buddy.
Really?
And, yeah, I think she's flushing on you.
Anthony, I'm going to need some music. Chrissy, I'm flattered. I don't know if anything could come of this. You've got John, I've got Jody, but there's something here. I feel it, and I appreciate it, and I'm flattered by it. So thank you, Chrissy. I hope you have a great, great weekend. You sound like you have a wonderful husband. Pay more attention to him. Don't crush on me. I'm unattainable.
The Michael K. Show.
You have a good weekend, Chrissy.
Oh, my.
On 98.7 ESPN.
John has really put up with so much in all our years together. And you can hear that just in that, oh, my. Oh, my. Now, before we get into the basketball, you know, this is part of the summer of K, trying things that I've never had before. So I look at a potato chip and I say, nothing better than a potato chip, right? How do you improve upon that? Well, our friends at Lay's have done just that. Have you had these yet, Don and Peter? They're called Poppables.
I did see that. We got them for the kids.
I tried it, and it's delicious. Mmm.
That was quite a bite.
Oh, my goodness, it's so good. I want you to try this, Peter. It's perfectly poppable crispy potato bites.
Is that a sponsor?
No, but they should be.
Did you guys see the our listener Steven's K-Show bingo board?
I did glance at that, yes. Is it for all of us or just Michael?
No.
Or the show?
It's for the show. So basically, they each have a board, Steve and his friend Pete, right? They're each playing bingo, and one of the boards has so it's different moments from our show that happen, you know, and you check it to get bingo, right?
Right.
Here are the things they have. K, I'll play along. Didn't happen this week, apparently.
Haven't said that today, yeah.
K pointing out a bear bark. That has happened. Not today. It's this week. A mention of Don's pool. Sorry doesn't fix the lamp. Excuse me with a question mark.
Excuse me?
Omar yelling. A movie quote. Someone told to take a walk. It's not what you want. I'm good. Romantic saxophone music. By the way, add that. They didn't scratch that yet. That happened today. Calling another host a bad guy. Towel off. Don mocking Yankees fans. Here's a good one, Don, that I wouldn't have thought of. Bit of an odd bird. Michael does say that. Don laughing until red in the face. That's rare. Peter talking about Washington football team. P Peter album plug. DiPietro chime in. Make out. Andrew drop. Don rant. This is true. And that's only one board. They and both boards, there's a couple people. One of them is very close to bingo. We should turn this into an actual game.
Well, let them bribe us. Anyway, we have the Knicks and the Hawks tonight. And I will repeat what I said a little bit earlier.
Please.
I believe that moving away from the Garden is going to benefit the Knicks. I think that the Garden crowd was so strong and so overwhelming that I think it just knocked the socks off of the Knicks players that had never been in a playoff game. Who was the guy who performed the best in the two games? Derrick Rose. Been there, done that. Now, will the Hawks have a home court advantage? Well, yeah, but it's not going to be anything like MSG. Now, the Hawks are 19-2 in the last 20 games at home. They've won 11 straight games at home. But the playoffs are different. They are different. I just think the Knicks will benefit from getting away from that kind of intensity because they have guys that just aren't used to this. They're just not used to this, period. And I think getting away from the Garden, going to Atlanta, is going to benefit them tremendously. Now, today's a big game. We gave you the stats before. In a 1-1 best-of-seven series, the team that wins Game 3 wins the series 73% of the time. Let's see what happens. Also, the key for the Knicks, in my opinion, has to be Julius Randle. If Julius Randle does not return to what Julius Randle was during the regular season, the Knicks will not win, no matter how good everybody else is. Everything works off of him. Everything. And Peter pointed out that in the second half in Game 2, he was better. He was definitely better, but there's three halves in two games, he was dreadful. So let's hope that what he did in Game 4 or Game 2 in the fourth quarter and really in the second half carries over. But you know, he scored 15 points in each game. He's shooting about 28%. Can't do it. He's got to be the guy who won the Most Improved Player Award. He's got to be the guy who, against the Hawks during the regular season, actually averaged over 30 points in those three games. That's who he has to be. Everything else spills over from that. And I'm hoping that getting away from the Garden, the intensity, the maniacal sound, that will help him. I'm hoping.
Well, there's a bunch of different ways to look at this because you could say, well, listen, the Knicks almost won Game 1 without Randle. Lost on a last-second shot. And then Randle was a little better defensively, or probably a lot better, but still the same offensively. And they won that game. Now the final score said they won by 8 or 9, but it was a one possession game pretty much for most of that fourth quarter when the back and forth of it. So that was a close game too. So yeah, if Randle's better offensively, guys, I don't think there's any issue, right? If you tell me Randle's scoring 30 points like we know he's capable of doing, I think the Knicks win these games going away. Because I think for two road games, the Hawks have to be pretty proud of their performance, right? Their best player, Trae Young, has combined for, what, 62 points in the two games? Now, Bogdanovich could have been better in Game 2.
Well, he's terrible.
I think Atlanta probably feels like they did a good job on the road. And I think there's room for improvement for both teams, but I think a little bit more for the Knicks, considering their star player has combined for half the points of their star player. That's not going to continue, you wouldn't think. So that's the answer right there, is the play of Julius Randle. Now, why has he struggled offensively? Is it because of what Michael said, that maybe a little overwhelmed by the moment, empty building for most of the year, 10%, 20%, then all of a sudden nearly 100%, and fans going crazy? Is it the playoffs in general, or is it just a couple of off nights? Or is it not good enough to play in the postseason the way he did in the regular season? And I think whatever your answer is going to tell you what's going to happen in the series. If it was just a couple of off nights, they're fine. He'll figure it out. If it's the crowd, well, they don't have to worry about it. They're not going to have to deal with it in the next two games. But if it's because he's not the playoff player that he was in – that he is in the regular season, then they don't have a chance. And I don't think it's that. That's what you got to hope it's not.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. You know who else feels that way? Julius Randle's accountant. I mean, Julius Randle, guys, we're talking about a guy who at some point, you know, could get a – if Julius – wait, he's up after next year?
Yeah.
Now, if Julius Randle –
they could sign him to an extension after this year. But he would not get the most money he would get would be if he plays next year and then signs after that.
Could he? And he could turn down their extension and wait and bank on a second season.
Right.
But that almost ensures that he has to play a great playoffs.
Yep.
Well, and listen, they won game two behind Rose. And I think they could they can get enough out of Rose, Peter, to win this series if Randall's not going to be great. But what does that say about the team moving forward?
Well, and what does it say about, you know, Randall being an unmovable piece? I'm telling you this, even at the end of the regular season, where all the fans, really, I think the fan base would have flipped if you considered moving Randall. If for some reason the guy we got for the first three halves of this series is who we get for the rest of this series, guys, fans aren't going to feel like he's an unmovable piece.
Absolutely. It solves a lot of issues. Obviously, you'd rather have the issue that he plays great and you want him to come back. But, yeah, this is a big deal. And it's I think also very important for the Knicks to judge him.
And wouldn't we all agree that if tonight he's a dud, we're kind of in panic mode about Randall?
Yes. Absolutely, because now you can't. Now, what Michael said wouldn't be the case, because there's not going to be an atmosphere in Atlanta. No offense to the Hawk fan, it'll be.
There'll be some,
but there isn't going to be anything that you can't play through, because then that's an issue too. If you're telling me that, you know, the crowd in Atlanta was just so crazy that Randall was out of his game, then how great a player can you be?
Well, but hold on. But let's be fair. It may be the most intense crowd we've ever seen in Atlanta, after what we just saw in New York, and then you factor in coming out of COVID. Listen, Atlanta, I mean, though they barely seem to notice COVID, it still was there. And number two, guys, let's be honest. All of us did not quite realize how good they've been at home over the last 21 games. 11 straight, 19-2 over the last 21. What do you say?
We're not paying that close attention.
No, of course not. So maybe tonight, maybe this year in 2021 in these playoffs, post-COVID, everything that's happened, maybe there'll be more of an atmosphere than we're giving them credit for. But there's no way it's the Garden.
All right, but at some point, you got to fight through it.
Have to.
Like, that's, all right, I get the first game. I get the second game, although he did step up in the fourth quarter. But if you're going to tell me that now a third straight game, Randall didn't play well, maybe it's the crowd, well, then I've got to wonder, all right, are you ready for this stage? Because the whole thing about being a great NBA player is having to fight through that stuff.
Yeah, he's got to be better. I mean – everybody has growing pains, so let him grow over the first couple of games, and now he's got to be better today. Let's go to the phone, see what you think. Connor in Queens. Connor, talk to us.
Hey, guys. Great show. Don, I want to just say that I feel like, you know, the things that you listed about why it's possible that Randall, you know, isn't playing well, I think you're leaving out the fact that it could very well have to do with how Atlanta's playing him defensively. And it takes time to adjust to that. Like, you know, the second half, we saw that he was very different on offense. And it could be the way that he's reacting to the defense of Atlanta and kind of learning from, you know, what they're showing him, the doubles and stuff like that.
But that's not the only thing is, my only argument there is that's not unusual for him. He's been catching doubles all year and fighting through it most of the time.
Well, I mean, Derrick Rose, Connor, said that, you know, he said it at the game, too, that they're throwing doubles at him that he's not recognizing. He said he has to get better at it. This is his own teammate.
Well, you better hurry up and get ready.
Yeah.
And get it, because if you don't, now you're down 2-1. You end up losing the series. So you're going to have to figure it out. And again, it's only two games. And I do think, even though the point total was the same, I agree with Peter. He was better in game two than he was in game one. So if he gets a scoring touch, I just think we're kind of looking at things to be concerned about. I think he's going to be fine. But we're talking about a player that was in the top, that will be in the top five of an MVP talk, right? This is a player that has a tremendous season. So you've got to learn how to do this. You've got to figure it out, and figure it out quick.
I wonder if he learns anything from the end of that game, when he really seemed to be most effective against Atlanta, is when he's not settling for jump shots but trying to get to the basket.
Let's go to Frank in Scotch Plains, Frank.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday. Couple of things here. I've been a Knicks fan since – I'm 57 years old, for full transparency. I've been a Knicks fan since the days of Neil Walk and Rory Sparrow and all those folks. But, I you know, this Julius Randle guy, I got to be honest, I haven't followed the NBA the last few years because the game's changed so much, and it's pretty tough to watch. But it's gotten exciting now with the Garden – and all that, and the playoff scene and all that. But can you explain to me how the game has changed
to the point where it feels like I'm watching myself and my friends play in a schoolyard where it's just constant, like everybody's chucking the ball. Are these guys mandated before the game to say by the analytic folks to say take as many three pointers as possible?
Yes,
because it's really tough. It's tough to watch. It's like Julius Randle at times looks like a guy that you see in a pickup game in Greenwich Village.
It's
works. It's horrific to watch.
So I think he shot what 40% from three during the season. Well, I mean, you do the math. You get 3 points for a 3-point shot. You get 2 points for a 2-point shot. That's why they take more threes. The mathematics tell you it's smarter to take more threes, period. Whether or not I don't think it's as aesthetically pleasing as it used to be. I don't think it's as bad as you're making it out to be, though.
Yeah, because, you know, I keep hearing this word passing. No, passing. I see a lot of passing. It's around the perimeter. But how many times have you seen some great passing where all of a sudden a guy is wide open for the three? So is he supposed to just drive the lane and get 2 points when there is nobody in the picture and hoist up a three? Now, he may miss it, and you may go, oh, there you go, just hoisting up threes again. But it's not like they're not designing a play. It may not be what you grew up watching. It may not be the above-the-rim, driving the lane, that kind of physicality, hard fouls and all that. But there is some beauty to how they're able to get guys open in the perimeter, right?
Yeah, and listen, I find, of course, there are things about this NBA that are annoying, but like, I've loved the NBA since the 80s. I still do. I cannot relate to that call of like finding it unwatchable. I get it.
It's also interesting, but if it's unwatchable, why are you watching now? Because the games are more important? They're still playing the same game, the exact same game.
No, but I think it's okay to be critical of your sport, and I think there's some valid points there, but I do think there are times I'll watch a game where they're hoisting, it's just not there, and they're still hoisting it.
Yeah, watch the Miami game last night.
But when now, but unless you get a lot of, right, exactly, like, all right, so now it's not working, because here's the difference, right, is that, like, baseball will tell you the percentages and everything, but basketball to me is a sport that sometimes it's not the shot's not falling. So it's not about just getting open. It's not falling. It's not there. So where's your adjustment? And you said last night's a perfect example. The shot's not there, but they're still hoisting it up. That would aggravate me too. But,
see, but
watching that
game
the other night, I'm seeing perimeter shots, but I'm still seeing passing. I'm still seeing set plays.
And that's why you saw John Starks do what he did in 1994. You got to keep shooting. They just think it's going to turn. When we get back, we're going to talk to the Zerb, Wally Zerbiak, and he'll break down tonight's Knicks and Hawks game. Summer Fridays with the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. Stick around for Wally, coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.